Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. 7 months ago, Prairie Lakes Healthcare announced in a news release that a search process was being activated to look for a replacement for President and CEO Jill Fuller, who is retiring from that position. Since then, it's been all quiet as to where that search is at, so we went to Fuller to get an update.
Well, I think I don't have an expiration date quite yet, but they do have a search committee. They have candidates that they're starting to interview. So we're in the process. They're going to take their time. They want to find that right person to go into the next maybe decade. So but we've sourced candidates and we're in that process now.
I asked Fuller what makes her job so attractive to others.
The support of this community and the healthcare system here is unique. We're independent. We make our decisions that are in the best interest of the community and the region. We don't, we're not part of a big system, and that's because we have been successful. We've been able to stand on our own. We've been able to recruit doctors. We have a good market. So to me, that's a very attractive thing about Prairie Lakes. We're financially sound. We have recruited great physicians. We have a great staff, great workforce, great work ethic. But the physicians I recruit, at the end of the day, the community sells them. They love Watertown.
As for Fuller herself, she may be retiring from Prairie Lakes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she'll stop working altogether.
I don't think I'm finished with a professional career yet, and I am not exactly sure. I don't think you can make a decision about exactly what you're going to do next. I am an RN, registered nurse. I do have a huge interest in returning to some nursing roots. I've taught in academic settings and different things like that, so I'll be exploring some of those. I don't know that I will do the same type of work that I'm doing now.
When Fuller is done at Prairie Lakes, she and her husband Doug will move back to their native state of North Dakota, where they own a home on Lake Sakakawea. Watertown experienced some minor street flooding Monday as very heavy rain swept through the area. It was a record-setting rain, according to National Weather Service forecaster Amy Parkin in Aberdeen.
Yeah, for the Watertown area yesterday, we had some thunderstorms move through, mainly during the morning hours. 1.84 inches of rainfall was picked up over the area, and I know we had some reports of some flooding throughout parts of town. So you guys were under an aerial flood warning for a short time there during the day yesterday as well, and that was a record rainfall for the date, just barely breaking the old record, which I believe was 1.77.
Parkin says after all that rain on Monday, we'll get some dry weather moving in starting today.
We've got high pressure moving in over the area today. Should keep things pretty quiet. Still a little bit cooler. We had those few hot days over the weekend, and now we've kind of cooled down due to the rainfall yesterday and now with this high pressure system moving in. So only looking at temps in the 70s for the next couple days, which is pretty nice to most people, so probably not too many complaints. But yeah, we don't really have much in the way of rainfall again, just some small chances tomorrow night. Again, maybe Thursday night. That system's looking a little iffy and may stay further north. And then probably not again then until the weekend. It would probably be our next best chance.
Well, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says he's proud of the race he ran in the Republican governor's primary. Jackley lost to Kristi Noem by 12 percentage points. Jackley says it was his decision to not respond to the Noem campaign ads.
You know, we decided towards the end to not reciprocate on some of the negative side of things. And obviously, as I've read the newspapers and saw the polls dip, it had an effect on our election. But, overall, I loved running for governor. I got to travel our state. I got to meet a lot of great people, see a lot of things that, frankly, I hadn't seen before. Certainly, there's always some things you'd say, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I would have done that. But overall, it was a great race. I enjoyed it, and I'd do it all over again.
Jackley says he didn't want to turn the race negative.
You know, because this is a state I've got to live in, and I want to live in, and my kids live in. And, and obviously, some of that stuff towards the end brought some tears to my children, and I, just felt strongly that, I didn't do those things that were being alleged, and I wasn't going to go down that particular path. We were going to limit it to any ads. We're only going to be, in the Congresswoman's own words, we weren't going to go that extra step.
And Jackley says he'll now focus on his final 6 months heading up the Attorney General's office.
You know, certainly we're hoping we bring a win for South Dakota on the Main Street fairness issue to help our main streets out up the United States Supreme Court. the gear up trials, even though, you know, obviously in the campaign there was talk that nothing was being done on them. Obviously they're going to go to trial this summer. So those are the things that I'm going to keep doing as AG. I mean, we have a staff of, if you count the special assistant AGs, over 400, so I need to make sure I turn a good ship over to the next attorney general, much like Larry Long did for me.
Jack Lee says he hasn't made any decision about possibly seeking another political office in the future. The Minnehaha County Auditor's Office has discovered 164 uncounted ballots after South Dakota's primary election and added them to the existing results. County Auditor Bob Litz told the Minnehaha County Commission on Monday that the ballots were found as election officials updated voter history last week. Litz says the ballots were discovered in a sealed ballot box at a secure location. Litz says he decided to count the ballots after consulting with the Secretary of State's office and the state's attorney. Adding the uncounted ballots did not change the outcome of any races. Minnehaha County voters cast more than 19,000 ballots in the June 5th primary. A new study says Mitchell Technical Institute has a $37.6 million total annual impact in the Mitchell trade region that covers 14 counties. Mitchell Tech Vice President John Heemstra says the goal is to provide an objective data source to discuss the school's economic impact and its value to the region.
And it's information we thought would be useful in discussions with students, parents, industry partners, donors, legislators, accreditors, and other stakeholders.
For every tax dollar invested in Mitchell Tech, the school returns nearly $5 in added taxes and public sector savings. Well, the Yankton City Commission approved a proposal from the Business Improvement District to donate $1.8 million to Mount Marty College to build a new field house. Mount Marty College Athletic Director Chris Casson says the field house is projected to cost about $11.5 million.
It's a chance to build a very visible structure, a structure that's going to be attractive as you're coming down 8th Street, bringing not only students but also attention to for the community. We're just excited about the possibility of that size of structure and what that can do for not only Mount Marty but also the city of Yankton.
Construction on that field house may start early next year. Mount Marty's main campus is in Yankton with a satellite campus in Watertown. The South Dakota Farm Bureau and the South Dakota Department of Agriculture will again recognize and honor longstanding South Dakota families at the 2018 South Dakota State Fair. South Dakota families having ownership of their farm or ranch for 100, 125, or 150 years have the opportunity to be honored on Thursday, August 30th, during the South Dakota State Fair in Huron. To qualify as a South Dakota Century Farm or Ranch, a family must have retained continuous ownership of at least 80 acres of original farmland for 100 years or more. Application forms are available online at sdfbf.org by clicking Century Farms or by calling the South Dakota Farm Bureau at 605-353-8052. The application deadline is Friday, August 10th. Since recognition began in 1984, there have been about 3,000 farms and ranches acknowledged so far. That's a look at what's happening from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.